All right, good morning, everyone. We're on my time now. I mean the Lord's time. I'm sorry. Glad you're here. We're continuing our emphasis on reaching out as a church. And I want to have us take a look at a familiar passage, John chapter 4. I have copies over here. I think everybody's got one. But I want to do it a little backwards because that's kind of the guy I am. I go backwards. I think most of us know about the interview, but I want to show you a few things that I think to become a part of this outreach in some way. This is what we're doing. We're inviting everybody to come next week to a very special time of food and the bouncy house. If we can get Dave out of there, then we can get in and do the bouncy house too. but you heard that. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Okay, but the sermon this morning is going to be on that subject. It was last week, and we talked about it a little bit last week. But if you don't buy into it as an individual, I hope that this passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples will be helpful to you to see that there's a great benefit in some way spreading the good news. Now, some people are gifted evangelists. And so they know how to lead someone to the Lord, and they know how to teach other people how to do that. However, every Christian is called to be a witness. You don't have to be a gifted evangelist. You don't have to be Billy Graham, but you might be Billy Graham to somebody who doesn't know anything. Okay, because all of us as believers, at least we know Jesus, and a lot of people don't know him, and so we want to convey that. So Mike and I went out yesterday into the trailer park, and we gave out a total of 40 of these invitations, and we met people, and I tell you, it was so encouraging because the first lady I met was a born-again Christian, and she even knew the name of this church. She goes to another church, but she knew the name of this church, and I think that, to me, that was like God saying, yeah, you know, he's encouraging you. You'll find people that do know the Lord. And I think everybody that we talked to was very pleasant. They were open. So we weren't necessarily sharing the gospel at that point, to be perfectly honest. But we were saying, there's a church that cares about you, in so many words. We care about you, and we want you to have part of this, and we want your children to be able to come to a church where you can they can hear about God. So we had some good experiences. I'm going to ask Mike later on to share a couple of things that happened with him. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at this passage of John 4, at least part of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it's living and that it changes us, changes sinners into saints and changes saints into servants. So we just ask that the word of God might have free course. We pray not just for this particular class, but for the whole church today and the sermon coming and the music that's coming, that Jesus Christ may be exalted in all things. We pray that the news about this church, that we love people and that we want people saved and that we want people to grow in grace, gets out there. And we pray that we might have our part in that, each one of us, pointing to the Lord Jesus as the source of life and the satisfaction of life. So we just ask you to be with us now as we look at these scriptures. Okay, if you know about this interview, and probably most people have read it, where Jesus goes to the Samaritan woman, it's at noontime. She comes there alone because she doesn't want to hear the gossip of the other women. They normally went early in the morning when it was cool. So she's there alone. Jesus is there waiting for her. He's walked many miles. He's tired. He's hot. He asks her for a drink of water, and she's totally amazed because Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. They consider them half-breed Jews because they had intermarried with the Gentiles. And so they look down on them as not worthy of even being treated as a human being. So after he talks with her, the first thing he says to her, if you knew who I am, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. That's the first thing he says to her. If you knew who I am, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. I want to tell you that is the gospel in the very simplest form. If you want to be saved, you simply ask Jesus, and he gives you living water. Living water represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available to you through Jesus because he died for all your sins, and he made you worthy to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit. So he said, if you're thirsty for God, just ask me, and I will give you living water. Now, she knew the concept of living water was any water that was moving. It would be a spring or a stream, but she didn't know it in the spiritual sense, and he's trying to bring her over into that. Now, she's got, and you'll run into this every time, especially now in America, you will run into people who have some sort of religion or philosophy that is not really Christian. It doesn't keep Christ in the center. So you're going to have to deal with that, and this is what he did with her. She said, well, you know, you Jews say that you should worship at the temple, but we Samaritans, we worship over here. And Jesus said, you know what? All of that is going to be passé. Pretty soon it's going to be, and it's begun right now. Whosoever receives him, you're going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now think about that for a minute, okay? Spirit and in truth. That means a spiritual experience. How many people have run into somebody that says, well, I'm not a Bible person, I'm not a Christian, but I'm spiritual. Okay, we run into that all the time. And what they really mean is, I'm a really nice person and I love people and I just get along. That's what usually they mean. Because men will always build themselves up as okay without God, and they don't know how blind they are. But Jesus said you must worship in spirit and in truth. So the idea is God's spirit is not absent, or it's never without the word of God. That gives it structure. What is the spirit? Who is the spirit? What is the spirit doing? You learn that from the scripture. You worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay. So we know that from the scriptures, the one we worship is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He gave his life for us to make us acceptable to God. So there's a structure to beliefs that comes from the scripture. A lot of times people will say, I heard a guy say it the other day, the only thing you need to do is believe in Jesus and everything's okay. Well, that's a beginning, but that's not the end of it. As you can see, Jesus, we're going to see here in a minute, Jesus instructed his believers beyond their initial belief. So let me just pass these out. You guys might want to have these. Yeah. Okay. A lot of times you'll find that people have, they plateau. Now they get to a certain stage, they feel comfortable in church, maybe they got a position in the church, and they plateau. That's not what God wants. He wants us to keep on growing. You're going to see that. So after a while she says, well, are you greater? She's basically saying, who do you think you are? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? So she's bringing in religious tradition, you see, as a buffer against what he's saying to her. Because she's convicted in her heart. She's a woman that's been married 5 times and she's living with a man now, which she knows and she thinks he doesn't know until he brings it out. And he said, go and call your husband. And I said, oh, I don't have a husband. Yeah, you said the truth there. You've had 5 husbands and the one you're living with right now. Now, a lot of times people think, well, he said that because he's trying to convict her of sin. I think differently on this. I think that he's trying to show her, I know all about you and I still love you. And my offer is still valid. If you ask me, I'll give you living water. See, people build up barriers in their mind against the Lord. And Jesus systematically destroyed every one of those barriers so that she could call on him. And finally, she throws it all up. She says, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll make it all plain to her, to us. And he looked at her and he said, I'm him. And she believed it. And we know that she believed it because she ran back into the village. She forgot her water pot, which is a very important thing. And she goes back into the village, and she's got a lot of wisdom here, because if she had run in and said, "Listen, men, this is the Messiah." She didn't say that. She said, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Now think about that. This is what she said. This is her observation. "He told me everything I ever did." Now, from the text, did he actually do that? No. What he did do was he brought out the thing that was holding her back. "I'm unworthy because I've been married 5 times and now I'm living with a guy." And he brought it out into the open. If you will, he lanced the boil. He let it out. And he let her see that, "I know all about you. I know all about your sin. But you know what? I love you. And if you ask me, I'll give you living water." And then she says to the men, "Could this be the Messiah?" You see, she's calling him to them, to observe for themselves. You can't have a secondhand religion. You personally have to trust Jesus Christ. I like what one guy said. God doesn't have any grandchildren. No grandchildren. They're all his children when you trust Jesus Christ, but you have to do that. And we want to bring other people to that as well, where they themselves make a decision. So these men come out of the village, and they spend 2 days with Jesus. A 2-day seminar with Jesus. Can you imagine that? And when they get through, they say, "They're so grateful." I always thought they treated this woman terribly, because they said to her, "We don't believe because of what you said." Now, in a sense, this is a good thing, but still, it's kind of ungrateful, I think. And they say, "We've heard him for ourselves." That's what you want as a person trying to lead other people to the Lord. You want them to actually hear what Jesus says and believe it for themselves. That's what happens. Now, having given you a sort of a thumbnail sketch of what happened, I want you to see how he further instructed his disciples. Okay? And if you will turn over your page there to verse 27, okay? It says, "And at this point, his disciples came." See, they had gone into the village to buy food, okay? They were a traveling group, so they'd gone in to buy food. Jesus had sat at the well. Remember, he was hungry and he was tired. He had walked many miles. He asked the woman for a drink of water. I don't see where he ever got the drink of water, do you? He got caught up in his conversation, okay? And look what he says. Verse 27. "At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" You know why they didn't? Because they had learned you don't question Jesus. Okay? When they first start out with him, they ask a lot of kind of dumb, we say dumb questions, but they're learning. You know, that's how you learn. You ask questions, and everybody's at a different level. But it's like he's the Lord. So they're being careful about how they remark on what he does. So verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." And here's where we really want to pick up. "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.'" Now, I want you to get this picture, okay? They've been following him for some time now. They are learning Jesus. They are learning what kind of a person this is. They're learning his mission, okay? And so he says to them here, "I've got something that I'm eating that you don't know anything about." That's important. See, sometimes people come to Christ, and like I said before, they sort of plateau. They don't keep on going. And I want to urge you, I don't care who you are, to keep on going in the scriptures so that you understand better. And this is what happens. He says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Now, all the time, it seems like, When you see Jesus say something spiritual, they always take it in the natural. Remember how Nicodemus said, how can I go back into my mother's womb to be born again? Remember what the woman at the well said, how can you give me living water when you have nothing to dip out of the well with? Always in the natural. He's pushing for the supernatural, for that which is of God. So he said, I got food to eat you don't know anything about. And they say, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Now I want somebody to turn, if you will, to John 6:40 and read that for me. Somebody has their Bible? Somebody like Bill, for instance? I see you. That's okay.
I get it.
Whoever. Okay. John 6:40.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay. So it's the will of the Father. Now understand that when you look at the will of God in the Bible, you'll see a number of things. But the primary will of God is that everybody would look to the Son and be saved. You see that? And then there's other wills of God as well. Okay, it's his will that we would grow in grace and so forth. But the primary will of God is that we would see Jesus Christ and be saved. So this is why Jesus. This is what Jesus said. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. What does he mean by that? I think what he means is I'm finding a satisfaction that you are not experiencing right now. I'm experiencing a satisfaction from doing what God wants me to do. Now, bring in John 3:16 right here, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you see that? When we're involved in that, some way, somehow, we're bringing that out. Whether it's we're giving money to the church, or we're praying, or we're actually going out, or we're talking to our neighbors, whatever it is, we're part of that. You see that? And there's a satisfaction with that. Okay? Somebody said Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is to a degree, because you need to see what has happened in the scripture, but at the same time, to be a participant. One guy was at a Billy Graham crusade one time, and he himself was an evangelist, and somebody turned to him and said, isn't this great to be here where Billy is? And he says, it's good, but it's not great to me. I'd rather be up there preaching. And I think that's true. What, you have a question, Bill?
Well, I was just saying that part of the will you were talking about is Romans 12:1-2.
Go ahead, read it.
Okay. I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God.
Okay, so here's two different wills, but they're connected. The first will is a person would be saved. The second will, which you're bringing out here, is that we would serve God acceptably. You see that? And this is what Jesus is leading into here, this food that he has to eat. Yes?
Romans 12:1-2.
See, often there's a mistake made that the sonship of a believer is connected to his service. Well, in one way it is. Every child of God is called to serve God. But if a child of God backslides and does not serve God, he's still God's child. He'll be corrected by God. You got to see that. He'll lose out at the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards that are given for faithful service. And I don't know, listen, a lot of Christians say, I don't care about rewards. Well, you ought to care about them, because Jesus is going to be giving them out. And he's not giving out tinfoil, okay? He's giving out things that are eternal. All right, and we're going to see there's another thing that happens when we continue to get this gospel out. So my food, again, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. When you're talking to someone else about the Lord, you're doing God's work, okay? You're entering into his mission, which, remember, he said, I have come to save to seek and to save that which is lost. So you're entering into that, and there's an almost an automatic deepening of the fellowship between you and Jesus that you're never going to get by just sitting in church. Okay? You need to hear what God said, but when you become part of that, okay, then there's good things happen. You start exercising. Everybody knows you're supposed to eat right, okay? You're supposed to work, you're supposed to exercise. And a lot of times if we just sit around and eat, my daughter is very involved in physical therapy and that kind of thing, and she says, Dad, sitting is the new smoking. You got to keep moving, okay? Especially us older folks, keep on moving. Use it or lose it, right? Okay. So the same has got, there's a spiritual overtone there. A lot of people are just about work. They never read the Bible. They never meditate on the Bible. Listen, read the Bible, meditate on the Bible, and then allow God, just put yourself in God's hands to go out or to speak to someone. Don't worry about it. Just say, you know what, God, I'm in your hands. If you give me someone to talk to, or there's some way that I can talk to somebody without, stopping traffic and talking to the traffic cop, you know. In other words, be a little wise about what you're doing, okay? So you're going to have that sense of God is using you. There's nothing sweeter for the believer than to walk in fellowship with Jesus. You cannot walk in fellowship with Jesus if you ignore the fact that people are going to hell and that they need Jesus. And I know this church cares, okay? But what the other thing that we need is training. How do you do that? How do you think right? How do you, you know, gain those experiences? Well, number one, no matter what you learn, you're going to have failure. But if you let that failure stop you, you're not going to keep on learning. Even from failure, you learn something. I guess I shouldn't have said that to that Catholic lady, you're going to be lost unless you become a Baptist. That's stupid, okay? A lot of Catholics are saved. I don't believe they can grow under that system, but at the same time, you want to be reaching out in the right way to people, okay? So listen to what else he says. Verse 35, do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. How many times have we procrastinated? Well, you know, when the right time comes, when the harvest comes, then I'll get out there and reap. Watch what Jesus says about this. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now, remember this, okay? In these Gospels, Jesus is speaking in the context of Israel. You will remember, I trust, that he said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the beginning. After he was rejected by Israel, then he said, or he anticipated that, he said, I will build my church. We're in the church age. At this point, he's only talking about Israel. And watch what he says about Israel. He says, look at the fields, they're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labor. Here's the idea, okay? Think of Israel as a garden. And the prophets went through there sowing the word of God. They're all written so that the Jews would know what's coming. That's why the woman at the well said, when Messiah comes, because everybody knew that the Messiah is supposed to come. It permeated the area. And that's another reason why we ought to teach prophecy. Because of prophecy, she was expecting the Messiah, even though she was very confused about a lot of things. So think of Israel as a garden. Here come the prophets, and they're sowing the Word of God. They're sowing the Word of God everywhere. Everybody can know. Okay? And what happened? Most of those prophets were killed. They were persecuted because Israel, in general, rejected their own Messiah and their own God. And they wound up putting their own Messiah on the cross. You see that? And that was all prophesied in the scriptures. You read Isaiah 53, and it's like reading, it's still prophecy. Now it's history, but it's like reading history that's already written in advance.
I don't mean to interrupt.
No, interrupt.
Why would I understand, like, if it was all permeated through the culture through years and years and all
signs that Jesus gave, the miracles, what was their motive for denying
them? Well, here's a basic one, okay? Think of yourself as a leadership in the nation, okay? You've got a certain prestige with people, okay? And Jesus said, these false people, these Sadducees and leaders and whatever, they would be on the corner, and if they're going to give money to her, they'd have somebody sound a trumpet. So everybody saw that they're giving money to this poor woman. You see that? And Jesus said, you love to be acclaimed by people in the marketplace. And there's a lot of... Yeah, it's position. If Jesus is true, their position is all wrong. You see that? And plus, they're playing games with Rome because they're in bondage to Rome. And so there's a political, religious thing, societal thing going on where they don't want to lose their position before Rome either.
So it's
you see that?
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you don't have to be...
Well, they
should. Well, remember what Jesus said? I don't know if you've read this, but he said, you know what? The prostitutes are happy to see me. But you religious people, you know, you think your religion is going to save you? That's going to carry you to hell. Now, I'm happy to say this. In the book of Acts, it says that, after all, many priests believed on Jesus. You know? It's so hard when you take a position. I don't care what it is. Doesn't have to be religion, okay? Maybe you think that Hershey bars are the number one salvation of the world. And you've gone on public record saying, Hershey bars, if everybody ate Hershey bars, everything would be okay. And along comes somebody else and says, Hershey bars are not... That's crazy. You know, what you need is Jesus Christ. So you've taken a position, so there's going to be shame on your face. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And most people do not embrace being corrected. And I know that personally because I have been corrected. That's why if you don't listen to preaching, you're going to be corrected by God himself. That's what the Bible says. He's your father. He's going to take you to the woodshed. Okay, he's not going to destroy you, but he's going to take you to the woodshed. Yes.
So you're saying that I hear people where I'm living, they're all set. They go to church.
Yeah. Remember Pilate's wife? She told him, don't have anything to do with that righteous man, because I had a bad dream about him and it gives me bad thoughts, so don't have anything to do with him. And he's washing his hands. I am innocent of the blood of this innocent man. No, he's not. Everybody is in the jury box here. Everybody's in the, I should say, you know, you got to have a defense. And your only defense is Jesus Christ. Okay. So when people have taken a position, and listen, we as believers, sometimes we've taken positions on things that are not really biblical. Let's be ready to be corrected when we see a better way. When we see it more clearly, okay? And so this is what Jesus is urging here. Watch this, okay? He who reaps receives wages. In other words, the prophets have been sowing this seed. And understand this, there were some people that believed. You remember in the temple when Jesus was taken in to 8 days to be circumcised? Anna was there. She was a widow, a young widow, had been young, but now was old. She spent all her time praying in the temple. John the Baptist's father, John the Baptist's mother. There were people waiting for the Messiah. I love the story of Simeon. I just love this. He's an old man. And God has promised him, you will not die until you see the salvation of Israel. Now, he may be thinking, when the kingdom comes on earth, that might be what he's thinking. But when he's holding Jesus in his arms, he said, God promised me I'd see the salvation of Israel. The salvation of Israel is Jesus. The salvation of your soul is Jesus. Understand that? You and I have direct access to God through Jesus, okay? Don't think you always have to be taught by somebody else. You can dig into that Bible. Keep those main things, in place, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for all of your sins. He rose from the dead. You are totally accepted in the beloved. Okay? Now, if you don't grow, don't be surprised if daddy gets out the switch. Okay? But understand this. In Hebrews 12, it says that every child of God has a taste of his correction. Even if you're the best, if you're Billy Graham, you're still going to be corrected by God. Okay? Or any other person that you might admire, going to be corrected by God. Now, if you get stubborn, or a believer gets stubborn and refuses to be corrected, that's not a good sign, okay? Because the correction gets incrementally more severe, even to the point of taking that person home early. Okay, now somebody says, big deal. I get corrected, I get to go to heaven. Listen, you already had heaven guaranteed. What you're missing out on is an opportunity to serve Jesus and be rewarded for it, and to have some people there when you get to heaven besides Jesus who are glad to see you. Hey, thanks for giving me that track. Thanks for speaking to me about Jesus. I know I didn't appreciate it when I was on earth, but after a while I read it and thank you. Okay. That's what Paul says. Let me see if I have a note on where he says that. Somebody look at 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Somebody read that for us. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Got it, Chris? I'm seeing if the electronic beats the pages here. All right, there you go. All right, go ahead, Bill. Read it.
What'd you say?
First Thessalonians 2:19. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
But what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord at Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you?
And what's his real boast? What's he really happy about? Is it not you? That's what Paul's saying. You know what? You came to Christ. That's what I'm rejoicing in. See, that's the fruit. Notice what it says here. It says here, he who reaps, verse 36, and gathers fruit. That's the fruit we're talking about. People. People. You have fruit, brother.
Amen.
Amen. No, seriously. Seriously. Since you've been coming here, you've listened to the Word of God. And I've seen the change in both of you. And I praise God for that. Because that's Jesus, and you know that, right? You both know that. Yeah, well, he uses everyone, okay? But it's behind all that is Jesus, okay? So we want to give him all the glory.
I have to say that the people here help.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. See, that's why it's so important that we're reaching out as a church, because we want to bring people into this environment where they can grow and get some of these things clear in their hearts and minds. You see that? We want to be those people who are, we're not just happy because somebody's going to go to heaven. We want them to go to heaven as a productive, mature Christian. You see that? Okay. So that's what we want. We don't want to just see. There you go, brother. There you go. All right. Let it keep on going. Notice that he calls it food. Okay. I have food. In other words, I take this in and I meditate on it and it energizes me to go out and do things. Okay, Mike, come on up here. Listen, we went out yesterday. I had so much joy going with this guy. First of all, I know he's caring, so I'm protected. No, I'm kidding. But this is a guy that he's been a police officer, and I think you all know that. But we were talking about it yesterday, how he's had to go many times and tell somebody, your daughter or your son was killed in an auto accident. But we had a different message yesterday, didn't we?
Yes, it was a lot easier.
Yeah. Tell your own impressions.
No way am I Billy Graham, and no way do I read enough. I know that. But I love knocking on the door, because you don't know exactly what's going to come from the other side of the door. And we had great luck yesterday. Our God was bringing the right people to the door. Everybody was very receptive to what we were doing. And, you know, you got the Gospel of John in that envelope, so you know you can't get in too much trouble with questions. You know, you can answer their questions by flipping that open. But what we had was,
there you go.
We had people of all ages, and it was really nice because I don't think we had anyone negative.
No, absolutely not.
And he'd take one mobile home, and I'd take the next one. We kept going through the whole 40. We ran out near the end, and Dennis and I were walking back to the car, and we saw these people walking three dogs.
Yeah. Remember?
Well, when I went back with the eight houses that we didn't get, and Dennis and I split up there, the guy with the dogs, his wife thought that we didn't want to come to their house. It's kind of interesting. So I went back. It was probably 25 or 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
I went back over, and I said, sorry we missed you a while ago, but we ran out. And they were very nice. And I got all eight of them. A couple of places there weren't people home, so you kind of wedge it in the door because you didn't want to get the word out.
Yeah.
But we had good luck, and Dennis ran into one lady. Did you tell him before I got here?
No, you're right.
He had one lady, and she's out in the back with two little kids in a swimming pool. She's sitting there watching them. And I could see they were talking, so I went on down the street, and I came back, and he told me to come over, and he wanted to introduce me. And we went back, and he actually prayed with her, and she thanked us for coming, and she said she may even come here. We asked her to come today, so I don't know if she'll be here or not.
Yeah.
But she lives there with three children in a mobile home, and I was amazed at the rent, $1,300 a month. I mean, that is so hard for a single mom. Yeah. But anyway, we gave her, I think Dennis gave her a lot with that prayer that she may actually show up here today. It was just good. If you go out and do this, you can't go wrong because I know God gives you power. We came here and prayed before we went out. And we came back here after we went out and prayed again. And we also went to a church member's house and talked with them. And Dennis can tell that one.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Interesting, because at 2:55 this morning, I get an email from a single mom to the church. And I'm just wondering if it's this person.
Did she give you a name?
Jen.
What's her name?
Jen.
Not a Jen.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I just looked at the email stamp this morning.
She said that she would be here next Sunday. That she told me. Yeah. Let's pray that she does. I'm thinking that some of you could be out here next Saturday where they come for the food thing. If you're just there giving out this invitation, there are people coming there. And you just hand them to them, tell them what we're doing. Tell them we're a church that loves people. We want to see kids happy and whatever you want to. God will fill your mouth. Open your mouth, he'll fill it. And you give them that invitation. When I went back, I noticed all those people going in. And they're right in that building practically. If somebody's in that parking lot, listen, you can do this. You could say, here's an invitation for you. Isn't that what you said? Here's an invitation for you. We'd love to have you come. We really, you know, we got things for the kids and we got things for everybody. And I usually throw in, and we're going to have a gospel message. Now, some people, they don't know what that means, but other people, it resonates with them a little bit. You know, the thing is, when you do this, relax. Enjoy the people, okay? It's God working in you. It's not that you got to be all uptight and tense and make sure that you say it just right. God will help you, you know, even if... I went to one door, I knocked on the door, I think it was the second one, and I said, we're from the street across the church. Well, I corrected myself. That's stupid. What I really meant to say, and you know, they love it when you screw up because that means that you're a regular person, okay?
One thing that was really nice is you could almost see the flea market from the front of a lot of those mobile homes. So when you're talking to them, they didn't know this new trailer thing. But you could say, well, you know, right there by the flea market near old Benny's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, so they come out on the porch and look.
Yeah.
So it's real easy when you're that close to the church to get them to look at it. But we just had a great time. I think it was like, I don't know, we both smiled, having fun, riding around, talking.
I left you. And I went over to Dave's house. I wanted to talk to him. It turned out he wasn't home. But I went to McDonald's on my own without Dave. You know, that was unusual. But anyway, I went through the thing, and so I had Gospels of John laying there. So I put a buck in the Gospel of John. They have two windows. So I had two bucks, and I put a buck in each Gospel. But see, once you get going, you just want to keep going. It's because it's so hard for us to get going, but once we go. And the other thing is, if you have Mike Mangum waiting for you, and you promise that you're going to meet him. See, this is why you should go two by two. You promise each other, I'll meet you there. Okay, we're going to go out. We're going to see what God does. And it's like an adventure. You don't know what God's going to do. You know what that woman said? Listen, the trailers, there's probably about this much room between the trailers, okay? A little bit of grass. And here's this woman, and she's got like a, it looks like mattress size, single mattress size. I never saw a pool like that before. And here's these two little boys playing in it. And when they came back and introduced him, she says, I said, so she's got two sons. She says, I have three sons. I said, oh, I'm going to pray for you. She said, I think God sent you here to do that. See, people are open. We get it in our mind that, oh, I got to get it just right, you know. If you go out and you let God's love go through you, and you give them literature, and if you have a chance to talk more in depth, you know, if we go back there next time, chances are we'll be able to talk with her more, okay? But make that step, okay? And listen, if you can't go, physically can't go, you can pray. I told Mike this story yesterday. In the Bible, David and his men are chasing after the enemy, and some of the men are exhausted. So he says, you stay here, and stay with the stuff, their gear, okay? And we go, and they go, and they made the, you know, they won the battle, and they got all kinds of booty. I know that has another connotation these days, but it means swag, okay? And they're bringing it back, and the men who went with David said, we're not giving these guys anything because they didn't go with us. And David said, oh, no. Oh, no, they're getting an equal share because they're with us. You see that? Sometimes people can't go, but even if you can't go, you can pray. Be effective, okay? Be effective in some way for God. And the other thing is, if you can't witness and you say, oh, there's no way I can do that, say, you know what? There's a guy at our church, a pastor, who can explain the Word of God so you can understand it. Why don't you come? There's some people there that will love you and will care for your children and so forth. How are we doing on time? We're running out. Thank you, brother. God bless you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. I suggest you read through this thing again. verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. In other words, the prophets have already done that. Now you're going to reap those people who believed what the prophet said. You're going to bring them into the kingdom through Jesus Christ. All right, we have to close. Please be sure and take one packet at least today. One invitation and give it out. And you may do like what Mike did. He came back and got more once he got started, okay? Got to spread the word, all right? The more literature you put out there, the better. I had a friend who she was an Oriental girl, a Japanese girl, and she told me, she said, my brother became a Christian over in Japan, and that's a big no-no, and the whole family sort of ostracized them. But she said, one day I broke up with my boyfriend. My heart was broken. I was crying. I went in his room and I found a tract and I read it and I accepted Jesus Christ. You see, literature, it's always there, okay, at opportune times, whenever. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to this church, to each of us individually. And we just pray as a church we might go forward. We might be truly in love with each other through Jesus Christ, and promoting the truth of the Son of God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.